thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Well, good morning, everyone. I don't have to preach on 1 Corinthians 15 now because Dr. Jones has already done it for me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day, a day in which none of us have ever seen before. We ask that now, as we look into your word, that you would speak to our hearts clearly. Father, for many, this may be a difficult subject. I know at times in my life it has been. But let your grace and your tender mercy renew us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to talk just for a few moments about how to make good decisions. How to make good decisions. It's easy to talk about, but it's often hard to do. To make good, wholesome, wise decisions. Because oftentimes you have to make a decision in the spur of the moment. Often you have to make a decision when the heat is turned up. Often you have to make a decision when other people are looking at you to see what you're going to do next. I think there's no better book in the New Testament to talk about how to make good decisions than the book of 1 Corinthians. Because several times Paul points out to the Corinthian church, hey, you may say this, but here's what I say about it. One of those persons that I've admired in my life is, of course, Dr. Bill Jones. Oftentimes you've got up here year after year as president, and you've said three things that we need to make good decisions about. Who's going to be our master? What's our mission going to be? And who's going to be our mate? Here is a picture of our former president and chancellor now, Dr. Bill Jones. He's with the mayor, Steve Benjamin, here in Columbia, because on this day he receives the key to the city. He's just stepped down as president here and just become chancellor and received the key to the city. And once again, he repeated those three famous words. In this life, you must choose who your master is going to be. And hopefully for everyone in this room, our master is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Amen. I hope we've settled that, made that decision. The second decision that I think is really, really important is, what's your mission going to be? What's your purpose in life? Where are you going with this? I think that's the second greatest decision. And I would put that decision before I would lift up this third decision about who your mate is going to be. Because you want to make sure you hook up with someone who's going in the same direction. And so, Dr. Jones, I've appreciated those messages over the years. And thank you for the wisdom that you've shared that with. I thought I'd borrow it. I almost said I made it up, but of course it's your words. You know one thing about decisions? You make decisions, then your decisions make you. You make decisions, then your decisions kind of turn around, boomerang, and they make you. I want to confess something to you. I don't preach this from this high ground that I've never made a bad decision before, because I've made a lot of bad decisions. Matter of fact, I made so many bad decisions. A couple of bad decisions just flashed through my mind. I've made some bad decisions in my life, especially when I've gotten angry. When I'm angry, get out of the way. When I'm yelling, we're still doing good. But it's when I get quiet. That quiet storm, don't let it fool you. You may get cut. I mean, you may get prayed for. Okay, I'm in the wrong church to talk like this. I've had to always ask the Lord, Lord, help me with my anger, because I don't want to hurt anyone when I get angry. I've made bad decisions when I've been lonely before. I made some terrible decisions when I've been lonely. I made terrible decisions when I've been broke before. Has anybody ever been broke in here before? And boy, when I've been broke, there's something about being broke that just, man, I don't like that being broke thing. If somebody has to be broke between me and you, tag, you're it. I don't like being broke. I made bad decisions when I felt like there was an injustice going on. Lost my cool a few times. So whether I'm angry or lonely or broke or there's an injustice, I've had to ask the Lord to help me make good decisions, to make wise decisions, to make decisions that honor the kingdom. I don't know what scenario you could possibly find yourself in, but ask the Lord, Lord, help me make wise decisions. And I'm so thankful to be a recipient of God's grace. Because even though I made a lot of bad decisions, thank God I'm still here. Amen. Thank God I'm still alive. Amen. And thank God that you don't know all of my bad decisions in Jesus' name. Yeah. You know, often, no, that's not part of the sermon this morning. I have it just right. That's the way the Lord gave it to me. Some of us make bad decisions when we're overwhelmed. When there's school going on, work going on, bad decisions. I've been here at CIU so long, I've seen students make bad decisions when they're trying to meet a deadline, maybe borrow someone's words that are not theirs, and count it as theirs, and you all understand, don't you? You get overwhelmed, and then we have to have those nasty meetings. Don't start praying about making good decisions when you're overwhelmed. Pray about making good decisions before you become overwhelmed. Here's what people say. These are just some things I picked up along the way. When it comes to making decisions, don't fear the consequences. Go with your instincts. Consider your emotions. Play the devil's advocate. Keep your eye on the ball. Don't cry over spilled milk. Look at it another way. And beware of social pressure. You know, those things sound good on the surface, but sometimes those things don't quite get us where we need to be as it relates to making good decisions, wise decisions, great decisions. I want us, as a result of this message this morning, to make an impact in this world as it relates to just making good decisions. The maybe even count to 10 before you make a decision. Even when you're in the spur of the moment, even when maybe you're like me, when you're angry, when you're lonely, when you're broke, when you face an injustice, Lord, help me make a good decision. But oftentimes, we find ourselves confused. This little one here, it says, the more I think about it, the more confused I get. Such is true of life. The more I think about it, the more confused I get. Have you ever been confused about what the right decision could possibly be? Maybe you've heard good advice. Maybe you've had good mentors. Maybe you even heard good sermons. Maybe even the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of your heart. But you still can't seem to quite get there and make a good decision. Someone once says, don't make a permanent decision on a temporary emotion. I can't tell you how many times I made some crazy decisions. And it was just a temporary emotion. It was just a temporary thing. But I made it permanent because of my attitude and my actions. Because I wasn't willing to bend, wasn't willing to compromise. I wasn't willing to deflate my ego in order to make a better decision. I hope as you're sitting here this morning that you know that the world is not all about you. And the world is not all about me. The world is all about him. And we need not ask that every decision make us feel good, but we need to make the right decision, a wholesome decision, a wise decision, a great decision. Because you make decisions, and your decisions, almost in a boomerang effect, turn around and make you. Andy Stanley says it this way: good questions lead to better decisions. Good questions lead to better decisions. You all may be familiar with Andy Stanley. He pastors a little small church in Alpharetta, Buckhead in Atlanta. I think they have around 35,000. If they would do some evangelism, maybe take a course in you, Dr. Jones, they would grow a little bit. But he's been one of those people that has inspired me with his writings as it relates to making good decisions. Can I give you six questions that, if you don't mind, you can write them down or maybe commit them to your heart. But these six questions has helped me in this stage of my life. I'm getting ready to turn 48 years old. But at this stage of my life, it has helped me make some better decisions. I wish someone would have told me this when I was, as a student here in the early 90s, sitting in the same chairs. Someone would have shared these. Maybe they did, but maybe I wasn't in a place to hear it then. And I pray that the Holy Spirit puts you in a place to hear these words now. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Here's what it says. Paul says, I have the right to do anything. That's what the Corinthian people were saying. I have the right to do anything, you say. But not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything. That's what Paul says. But I will not be mastered by anything. The question I want to leave with you is this. Will this action edify self? If you're trying to make a good decision and you find yourself in the midst of a gray area, the question that you need to ask is, will this action edify self? You see the guy in the picture, he's pointing. He looks kind of frustrated or angry. But he has to stop for a moment and ask, will this action edify self? When you're self-promoting, when you're narcissistic, when you demand things your way, you may be missing a greater blessing in that you're not looking out for others, in that you don't know what God is doing behind the scenes to work this out for your good. Will this action edify self? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is one of those chapters that, as I look at it, man, there's two questions in verse 12. Because the second question is simply this. Will this action enslave my soul? I had a good friend here some years ago, Dr. Jones. This guy helped me master CIU. In high school, I graduated last in my class. I had straight D's on my report card. I hated high school. I was a terrible learner. I had never read a book. I mean, I was the worst student ever in high school. I'm sure they just simply gave me a diploma so I would move right along. I thought I was going to have a career in the military, but by God's grace and several conversations with my parents, especially my father, God led me to CIU. And yes, I did meet Dr. Jones. But there was this man on campus back in those days. He was just a blessing to me. He worked as an administration. I mean, he was just good. It makes me almost want to tear up to tell you what I have to tell you next. Because somewhere along the way, he started gambling and started borrowing money, started stealing money, started lying to cover his tracks. And I remember when it all came out one morning and they called us all in and they said that the university had to let him go. And I was like, this guy was my savior. He was my hero. So I had to look him up. I called him and called him. I think I called him 100 times before he finally picked up the phone. And I went over to Irmo and met with him. And the thing that he told me is that he got the gambling and this action enslaved his soul. Broke me. You know, I hear you. I have the right to do anything. Paul says, that's what you say. But everything is not beneficial. I have the right to do anything. But I will not be mastered by anything. Are you doing something that might enslave your soul? For my hero, I can still call his name. I can still see him walking across campus. He allows something so small to get out of control. There's a third question I want to leave with you. Will this action exalt the Savior? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. You say food is for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. With this action exalt the Savior. You know, Valentine's, you know, I thought it was Sunday, but people started like Wednesday of last week, and it went all the way through Monday. I mean, for some of us, we're still going through today. I mean, it was a big deal. People were buying flowers and card and candy and dinner. And maybe one little kiss. I'm in the wrong place to talk like this. They want a hug. Maybe want a rub. No, take the rub part out. Take the rub part out. Take the rub part out. The question I have on the floor, can I give you the question on the floor? Question on the floor is simply this. The question that we normally ask, how far can we go before it becomes sin? Instead of asking the opposite question, what can we do to stay away from sin? And in making a wise decision, especially when it's a gray area, especially when you're grown and you can do whatever you want to do, how can I make a better decision? By saying thank you for the car, thank you for the candy, thank you for the flowers, and thank you for dinner, and good night. And I don't want to talk like this in chapel, but there's a prophet by the name of Beyonce that says, if you like it, put a ring on it. Well, she's not quite a prophet. With this action, exalt the Savior. Have I gone too far? Have I violated? You know what? Has anybody ever had any Pringles potato chips? Lay's potato chips? There's a slogan out, you can't eat just one. Whenever you get started, the next one calls your name. And the next one, until you get to the bottom of the can, the bottom of the bag. And all of a sudden you've gone, you know, sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And sin will take you farther than you want to go. So at the moment you realize that you're making a bad decision, get off at the next exit, go over the overpass, and head in the opposite direction. Turn around. It's hard. Let me be the first to tell you, it's hard. It will probably hurt. It'll probably cost you a few tears, a few sleepless nights. But I promise those tears That hurt, those few sleepless nights will be a whole lot better than if you stay there too long. Because it may cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. But I'm just talking about making good decisions. Here's another decision I want to leave with you, another way to make a good decision. Will this action encourage other saints? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13. Will this action encourage other saints? It says, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. Well, how about if it's not about food? How about if it's about drinking? How about if it's about smoking? How about if it's about whatever you want to fill in the blank with? Will this action encourage other saints? With what I'm eating, am I building them up or am I tearing them down? Am I causing them to stumble because I'm now enjoying meat that was offered to idols? And Paul says, before I do that, I'll just become a vegetarian. I'll give up my pleasure so I can encourage others. Do you think like that? As a student here at Columbia International University, or whether you're watching this online, or faculty and staff, do you think like this? Hey, I want to live my life in such a way that I want to encourage others. That when people see me, they know my address is an address of encouragement and not an address of discouragement. Students, when professors see you walk in the door, do they see an encouraging student coming through the door, or do they see a discouraging student? Or let me ask the question in reverse. Professors, when students walk in your class, do they see a professor of encouragement or a professor of discouragement? You see, we all have some work to do. We all have some better decisions to make. And I just want to put us on the right road to making good decisions. There have been times when I thought, hey, I have a right to do what I'm doing. And yes, I had a right, but it wasn't beneficial for me. And it wasn't encouraging the others around me. But I had a right. I was grown, old enough to chew gum and walk at the same time. Old enough to eat cornbread and not get choked. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying, but those from a certain community, they understand exactly what I just said. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, when you're making wise decisions, good decisions, think through it. Am I encouraging the other ones around me? Or am I just doing something for self? Here's another way to look at it before I bore you all. Will this action evangelize sinners? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32 to 33. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews or Greeks. Can I read this in the Andre Rogers translation for a second? Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether they're homeboy or homegirl or not, or in the church. Because whether they're Jew or Greek, whether they're from your hood or not, don't cause them to stumble. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Do you think like that? I don't want to cause anyone to stumble. I want to do things that cause other people to see Christ and not see me. Now, I promise you, those times in my life where I've been angry, lonely, I made some decisions where I go back and look at myself. One time I was making a stupid decision, and it was almost like I was having an out-of-body experience. I could see me making the stupid decision and still made the stupid decision. And I said, how stupid is that? Have you ever done that before? You knew you were in the midst of a stupid decision, you wouldn't stop? I shouldn't say stupid, that's the wrong word to use in chapel, a decision that would not honor God. I've been there before. I've been there before where my actions, my attitude did not evangelize. Matter of fact, they tore people down instead of build people up. But I'm learning better. That I want my actions to evangelize sinners. One of the great preachers, Spurgeon, used to say it this way: go out and share the gospel with everyone and use words when necessary. In other words, he was telling us to let our actions speak louder than our words. One more question. Will this action emulate my Savior? As I'm walking behind my Savior, does my actions reflect the one I'm walking behind? Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Kind of follow me as I follow Christ. How you doing with this today? First of all, I got to ask you a question. Who are you following? Have you determined who your master is going to be? Have you determined your mission and your mate? You see, if you don't know who you're following, and somebody just said it, I'm following myself. Oh, man, you're not getting anywhere fast when you follow yourself. As Haddon Robinson would say, if you're following your own logic, if you're going by your own mind, if you're going by your own thoughts, you're walking on the edge of an abyss, and at any moment you could fall in. Maybe some of you, while I was speaking this morning, you say, yeah, better decisions. But you're not quite ready yet. When you are ready, let me suggest a resource to you. It's called Better Decisions, Fewer Regrets. The story of your life, one decision. One decision at a time. We're in the midst of this semester here at CIU, and you wouldn't realize how much your decisions right now will impact you for years down the road. One decision at a time. Ask the Lord to help you to make quality decisions, to make the best decision, to make decisions that will honor him. You know, I've been doing a lot of praying here lately. And I didn't preach out of my flow this morning. I preached out of my overflow. I need God to help me to make better decisions. So I want him to also help us. No matter what period or station or status of your life that you're in, to make better decisions.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.